God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. The Simple Actions Group wishes to extend a warm welcome to all in attendance today. Newcomers, is there anyone in their first 30 days of sobriety? We would like to welcome you. Anyone can use the chat function to send their phone number to the newcomer privately. Are there any newcomers? I don't see any waving hands. I do. Sam, I see your hand waving. Welcome. It's good to have you here. I'm sure that there will be men who will send you their phone number.
I'm new here too, Jay Seymour.
Hi, Jay. Welcome. I'm sure that there will be women who will send you their number. Actually, I will. There will be people who send you a number. Anybody else? All right. Welcome to Sam. Welcome to Jay. It's really good to have you here. Preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of people who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. Am I screaming? I feel like I'm yelling. Could somebody just say up or down? Okay, good. The format of this meeting is an open big book step study. As a group, we recognize the power of one alcoholic identifying with another alcoholic, sharing their experience, strength, and hope from the book, Alcoholics Anonymous. We encourage you to engage in conversation and ask questions after the meeting pertaining to the step discussed tonight. This evening, we are discussing step four, the first part on resentments. Please welcome our panel this evening. We have Meg and Lauren who are Zooming in from Richmond, Virginia. Thank y'all for being here. All right, I'm gonna go ahead and read the first paragraph, which is on page 63, and then the panel will share for a few minutes each on the reading. Step four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves, page 63. Next, we launched out on a course of vigorous action, the first step of which is a personal house cleaning, which many of us had never attempted. Though our decision was a vital and crucial step, it could have little permanent effect unless at once followed by a strenuous effort to face and to be rid of the things in ourselves which had been blocking us. Our liquor was but a symptom, so we had to get down to causes and conditions. First, we searched out the flaws in our makeup which had caused our failure. Being convinced that self, manifested in various ways, was what had defeated us, we considered its common manifestations. Resentment is the number one offender. It destroys more alcoholics than anything else. From it stem all forms of spiritual dis-ease, for we have been not only mentally and physically ill, we have been spiritually sick. When the spiritual malady is overcome, we straighten out mentally and physically. In dealing with resentments, we set them on paper. We listed people, institutions, or principles with whom we were angry. We asked ourselves why we were angry. In most cases, it was found that our self-esteem, our pocketbooks, our ambitions, our personal relationships, including sex, were hurt or threatened. So we were sore. We were burned up. On our grudge list, we set opposite each name our injuries. Was it our self-esteem, our security, our ambitions, our personal or sex relations, which had been interfered with? And Lauren is going first.
Hi, everybody. I'm Lauren. I'm an alcoholic. And thank you, David, for asking me to be here. It's good to see you guys. My sobriety date is December 3rd, 2003. I have a home group and it is a big book study. I have a sponsor who knows she's my sponsor and I sponsor other women and I am active in service. So Meg and I were talking before the meeting about, and David too, about how just, I don't know how to be in the world. And I, you know, we talk about when we get here, we talk about not feeling a part of, and for me, that means also not feeling connected. And so, you know, even before I took a drink, I would look at people. I remember on the playground as a kid, looking at people talking and thinking, what are they talking about? I just want to get close enough to understand how they have a conversation. And when I put a drink in my body, I had a spiritual experience. I had the experience of being able to feel comfortable, feel at peace and ease, and feel connected to you. I somehow, it was a magic potion that somehow allowed me to figure out the key to life, how to have a conversation, how to be with you, how to feel comfortable in my own skin. And, you know, coupled with that, I had always been a seeker. So before I even had the words to identify that, you all taught me how to do that. But before I knew that, I was seeking power in things. I was seeking power in a drink. I was seeking power in people. You know, I was relying on self-will. And also, you know, I was seeking power in resentment. I found that it made me feel very powerful to be angry. It made me feel like I was better than you. It made me feel like I could get stuff done. It was a huge motivator for me, energy-wise. And when I had enough and I got to the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous, you know, I learned that, as the big book says, so drinking was but a symptom. So I'm here now, but I'm with me. And what does that mean? You told me that this is a disease of perception. So now that I've put the drink down, I still have all of this stuff going on internally, all of this anger, all of this resentment. And I don't yet know what it is, but I'm irritated and irritable all the time. And you told me, I got a sponsor right away. We took the first three steps from the book, and she asked me to do exactly what this talks about, what this paragraph these paragraphs talk about, is put my resentments on paper. And I was very happy to do that because I had a lot of anger, and I was very happy to tell you about it. And what I found is later is that what essentially the resentment is doing is separating myself from you and from God. And when I'm putting my resentments down on paper, and I'm putting down the why, which is the fun part, the, you know, the who, the institution, the principle. When I'm putting that down and I'm looking at why, that's the fun part. Because then, you know, I get to feel powerful. I get to feel really powerful there. Then, you know, when I'm looking at where, you know, was it my self-esteem, my pocketbook, my ambition, or personal relationships, including sex, were hurt or threatened? Basically, where have you threatened me? Where have you threatened what I have or what I think I need to be okay? And that's really what's going on here, is that I need to be okay in the world. I need to be okay around you. I need to be okay with when I'm alone. And when you don't treat me how I think I need to be treated, or you don't give me what I think I need, or you're threatening to take something away that I already have, whether that is in my mind, fancied or real, because, you know, I can't tell I can't differentiate the true from the false. So whether that's made up, fancied or real, I think I know what I need to be okay. And when you're threatening that, that is a problem for me. So here is where I get an opportunity to look at that, and I'll pass.
Meg?
Hi, I'm Meg. I'm an alcoholic. My sobriety date is November 4th, 2001. I'm so excited. I have a sponsor who I dearly love. I have just about anybody in my life in birth. And that is saying a whole lot. I had no idea. I have a hunt sponsor, but I do. I sponsor women through that. This is a real big step. This is where I started change. When I got sober, I didn't know that I had, I was so concerned about what me that I was in my whole looking And I lived that way in all of my, and drinking, like Lauren said, allowed me to tolerate level. And then when I got sober, I had no, or how you, or judgment. So the world was, have the attitude I felt was necessary. And as I stayed months, I began to have, my biggest resentment was at my mom, a mirror or a, and cause of emotional touchstone. And I think that the, I thought that this is out, just like I thought I could out of, if I could have the attitude, then I, but if you had any kind of problem, I would, because that was my found, my foundation. And so the fourth step was causes, and the causes that description, we're looking blocks, this decision that we step, I want to God, but I can't get anywhere. Got these that are right now. We're, so it's the first time that I start look at what's in, not out the power as that I need. I loved the phrase laws in, when I was time with, there's a place that's about the successful asking, what is success? So if that's what success, I can torn apart. Isn't that what to me? So they, and it's interesting. So that does me as a, and that's hopeful, even though I'm also, and what I'm trying to explain, I'm trying to stock old that it expired. It's not effective anymore. It's helpful. I'm trying to, so that I have room. And what do I have? So I think.
Thank you both. That was great. The next reading is on page 65. We went back through our lives. Nothing counted but thoroughness and honesty. When we were finished, we considered it carefully. The first thing apparent was that this world and its people were often quite wrong. To conclude that others were wrong was as far as most of us ever got. The usual outcome was that people continued to wrong us and we stayed sore. Sometimes it was remorse, and then we were sore at ourselves. But the more we fought and tried to have our own way, the worse matters got. As in war, the victor only seemed to win. Our moments of triumph were short-lived. Lauren?
Nothing counted but thoroughness and honesty. That really hit me. I don't think I had ever been honest. I certainly hadn't ever had an honest relationship with anybody. When I was drinking, I had these different notebooks that I called my liaries, and one was for one was for coworkers and my employer, one was for friends, and one was for family. And I would my intention with these liaries was to scribble down my lies because I couldn't keep them straight. It's exhausting being an active alcoholic, let me tell you, especially one that is type A, because I think that if I can just, or it's the epitome of controlling and managing. And, you know, just like Meg said, if I can only manage right and manage well. So, I have these liaries, you know, sometimes I'm finding I can't keep track of my lies. It's getting harder and harder. So I was a bar drinker because I had a fake ID since I was 17. And so I got smart. I started to scribble my lies on bev naps in the bars and then shove them in my purse or my wallet. And I really didn't think that I was a liar when I got here. And when I was in treatment, we used to go to outside meetings and, you know, they passed the seven tradition basket. And one meeting, you know, I just absolutely couldn't see how I was dishonest, but I opened my wallet to contribute to the seven tradition basket, not because I had any money, but because I didn't want to look bad, because everybody's watching me. And what are you going to say about me if I don't put some money in the basket? So anyway, I go in my wallet and there's all these bev naps from the bar that have the lies scribbled on them that I had intended to transfer into the liaries. And then there's like some doctor's notes in there too, because, you know, I had every illness known to man and I needed doctor's notes for missing work. So I'm like, okay, I see how I'm a liar now. I get it. So it really struck me. I would say it was hard for me when I saw that, you know, nothing counted but thoroughness and honesty, but I had that gift of desperation and I was ready and I didn't want to live the way that I was living. So the first piece, you know, thoroughness and honesty, I have to do that. Let's see. And yeah, to the first thing apparent was that this world and its people were often quite wrong. I am happy to take your inventory and to point out everywhere where you are wronging me. You know, the place where this shows up the most in my life with is my marriage. And it was funny when David contacted me to come to this meeting. I had just finished a fifth step on my husband. And he is new to us again. And I want to manage his life. And I think that that I know everything he needs to be doing. And I know everything that he has done wrong. And I am very happy to tell him about it. When he made amends to me, and he said, what did I leave out? I was very happy to take his inventory and tell him. The thing about that is then I stay a victim, right? So that's where the buck stops. If I stay in this cycle, and that's really what I thought when I got here, is that the world had wronged me. I was really a good girl. And you know, I really hadn't hurt anybody. I was just hurting myself. And I just ended up in these situations where people hurt me, where people harmed me, where I was a victim. The thing that's really powerful here is that, you know, and we'll talk about that later, but is that that's not the case. That is not the case. That's my delusion, is that, you know, it talks about the more I fight and the more I try to have my way, the worse matters got. So the more I obsess over how you've wronged me, the crazier I get, the more uncomfortable I get, the more restless, irritable, and discontented I get. And it becomes an obsession. Resentment, when it's untreated, becomes an obsession. And then what do? With an obsession? I look for ways to feed it. And I'll pass to Meg.
Thanks, Lauren. I'm Megaman. Like Lauren, when I came in, I really thought that that a lot of things, that in my most important relationships, my happiness rested other people. And so I was under the, if I could deal what you mean by, or argue that you would say, you know, my bad, and you would change and all would be well. And what the third step explained to us was that all that is, and I'm trying to direct the, now that God is, I have to let him, what is his job? And this, so instead of concluding that other people are wrong and stuck and staying, I want to, and the first step that we learn in the, for us is admitting we were powerless and that our lives were by this, the first real step in realizing of thinking that other is the source of our, because if it's a, because I have no, my sponsor, when I was, I read that other, I was happy to, you know, I was happy to have done and what, because that's, but that's all. And my sponsors, we got, and I'm getting, and that was allowed myself out trying to, you know, and I say to my own, the big book says, that, so it's not about whether that is what is not about, it's not about, it's about getting of the stuff so happy.
Thank you. The next reading is on page 66. We turn back to the list, for it held the key to the future. We were prepared to look at it from an entirely different angle. We began to see that the world and its people really dominated us. In that state, the wrongdoing of others, fancied or real, had power to actually kill. How could we escape? We saw that these resentments must be mastered, but how? We could not wish them away any more than alcohol. This was our course. We realized that the people who wronged us were perhaps spiritually sick. Though we did not like their symptoms and the way these disturbed us, they, like ourselves, were sick too. We asked God to help us show them the same tolerance, pity, and patience that we would cheerfully grant a sick friend. When a person offended, we said to ourselves, this is a sick man. How can I be helpful to him? God save me from being angry. Thy will be done. We avoid retaliation or argument. We wouldn't treat sick people that way. If we do, we destroy our chance of being helpful. We cannot be helpful to all people, but at least God will show us how to take a kindly and tolerant view of each and every one. Lauren?
This is a good one for me because at my core, I am so judgmental. And I'm constantly looking. So I set up this whole thing where it's like a negative feedback loop. So I'm like hypervigilant. I'm looking for you to mess up what I define as a mess up. And when you do, it's like, see, you know, I was right. And it's just another way of keeping myself separate from you. And then looking at that, you know, what is in that state, the wrongdoing of others, fancy to real, had the power to actually kill. So doing that, that's going to isolate me. Then I'm going to start to get uncomfortable. I'm going to need to drink because I'm not in communion with you. And I'm certainly not in communion with God. So I'm going to need to drink. And then, you know, it has the power to kill. So that is a true statement for me. People not doing what I think they should do, not treating me right. You know, this part about we ask God to help us show the same tolerance, pity, and patience that we would cheerfully grant a sick friend. Thank God for sponsorship, because my sponsor pointed out that this is a prayer. So and it says, you know, this is a sick man. How can I be helpful to him? God save me from being angry. Thy will be done. The last thing I want to do when I feel like I'm not getting mine is treat you with tolerance and patience is accept you. Is the last thing I want to do is be helpful to you. Why would I want that? You know, I'm not getting mine, but God makes that possible here. And in turn, you know, that gives us our purpose here. God saved me from being angry. I talked about, you know, being obsessed with that power that I get from anger. I need to be free from that, and thy will be done. God will show us how to take a kindly and tolerant view of each and every one, no matter what I think you've done to me, each and every one. I need to treat each and every person with a kindly and tolerant view.
Hi, Meg. I'm not. I love the, we were prepared to, was talking about perspective. I'm prepared to look at it from, I don't have that deal. All I've got is God, and I'm asking God to how he, right? And I don't have the thrust of God from a resentment. And what I learned, I mean, I often tried to, and that was one of the reasons I didn't know how it was, because I hadn't gotten up, because I was always, I was, because then you might be in my drinking, but also in my non-drinking without enough, and I was going to find drinking because I had to have a, I just wanted to tell quick, because so, when I was working on my fourth step with, she walked me, and I love it, column about, and it's the time where the big book says, when a person, I mean, there isn't that, because we have a resentment, and they're going to, so we're going to, we have to end that. We've got to first not do, I'm going to ask God that different attitude. And I'm admitting that resentment, that's how, and I can't solve it. Fortunately for me and for all of us, God showed, and now we get to a resentment, and he says, okay, I took away trust, and that's, I'm going to try these. I'm going to pray. I'm going to, instead of arguing, I don't even know what that, because I've only, so what I am is, and that stab it.
All right. Our last reading is on page 67. Referring to our list again, putting out of our minds the wrongs others had done, we resolutely looked for our own mistakes. Where had we been selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, and frightened? Though a situation had not been entirely our fault, we tried to disregard the other person involved entirely. Where were we to blame? The inventory was ours, not the other man's. When we saw our faults, we listed them. We placed them before us in black and white. We admitted our wrongs honestly and were willing to set these matters straight. Lauren?
Lauren, alcoholic. Meg just mentioned humility, and this is where I really get humble, because this is where I get to see myself. You know, the selfishness, self-centeredness, that's the root of my problem. And then I have a chance to identify it here in each resentment. And I don't have a single resentment that I can recall where I haven't named selfishness as one of these. To me, you know, and this is also where the, you know, talks about not, we aren't we aren't afforded justified resentment. So we need to put, whatever this person has done, what I think this person has done to me, set that aside and really look at where I'm to blame. And that is also where the third step really comes in too, is because I can't do this without God's help. I really need to ask him for help with this. Dishonesty to me, a lot of, you know, to me, that also includes delusion. Where was I dishonest with myself about the reality of this situation? I placed myself here to be harmed. I had a couple of situations in my story where, you know, I should have gone to police. And it, you know, it was a situation where I got harmed, but had I not been there, I placed myself there. I drank, you know, I was to blame in that extent. You know, from there on, that's not mine, but the inventory is mine. So I look for where I'm to blame in situations. Self-seeking. What do I need to get from you in order to be okay? That's really what this is all about for me, is what do I need to be okay? Frightened. So when I got here, I didn't think that I had any fears because I was looking externally. I was looking at, okay, well, I'm not afraid of heights. I'm not afraid of spiders and I'm not afraid of flying. I don't have any fears. I'm fearless. And I certainly acted fearless in my cups. You know, I acted like I didn't have a care in the world. But what was really happening is that I found is I'm afraid of everything. And what happens then is when I'm in fear, there's that anger. So the anger is a secondary emotion. The root of that is fear and hurt. So I need to act in anger in order to do this thing where I think I'm okay because I'm protecting myself from you. I'm creating this wall and I'm safe and protected. The fears that I found when I put down is, you know, I'm really afraid at getting to the root of it and continuing to ask myself why I had each of the fears. What I'm really looking at is I'm afraid to be alone. That's it. I'm afraid to be alone. That's the root of everything. You know, I can think that I'm afraid to share at a meeting, but what's happening is, okay, why am I afraid to share at a meeting? I'm afraid of how I look. Why am I afraid of what I look like or how I sound? Because I'm afraid you won't like me. Why am I afraid you won't like me? Because I'm afraid I'm going to be alone. That's the root. And then what happens then? Then that's really where my God reliance comes in. That's really where that third step comes in. Because if I have that fear, I need to be relying on God. And how do I be free from that fear? God reliance. Pass.
I'm Megan. I got to tell you, we're honest with myself about the, I could talk about the abstract as self-seeking, selfish. It hurt. It made me vulnerable. If something was wrong with, I was somehow, it's an oxy because a victim is by definition vulnerable. And yet I wore that as armor, you know, so that I didn't have, so that I didn't hit that I was what I want. My sponsor and I laughed because I aspired. I actually, in my alcohol, and we laughed because a lot of the highest, and what that people are going periodically, and I'm going to crop up, and you know, that these are that I need, and I don't deal with them by what I did in my dishonesty. I pretended I tried to be Dr. Jekyll, that all the men who were aspiring doctors sit around his fire and talk about the problems of man. You know, I wanted it was like a light that all them gathered. And yet that's not every has work today. If I'm not open, I can lie to myself. And I think I was, Lauren talks about being, that was my big, and that I was good. So this was fuel that I used a lot. And I remember sitting in my living room crying because I idealized for the woman out and about that I lied to, that I said I loved, that I don't have an, get really specific about that. I can tell you, those of you who are relative, it's not pain because my sponsor, that honest and that this and that the way that you, it's worth every hint of, it's worth every, now if talk about if it crops, they don't really crop up as nearly as, and I go back and do a fourth step. I sit down and I write, column comes up. I can see where I've been self and frightened. And for me, like Lauren, all for every, and I think it's because the self, we're like in self. We are. My sponsor taught me that I was an expert. I was at me other ideas, other people that I like, Lauren, which was, I wanted to your attitude, your action. And she taught me that what implicit and terrified that you would think or feel about me. Being dishonest, I couldn't truth about myself. You talked about it before to anyone. And I was selfish, literally unable to set myself aside long about because it's all about me getting survive. So I have to learn how to look at, I have to trust very thought, which I first encountered, gave up drinking. I thought it would be, and then when I got to it, actually very things that I thought were mine. And that's what I've learned. And that's the insanity that we've lived in. What we thought was desperate and what we thought we absolutely, you know, and that's where, oh, it's not so bad to rely on God because God's got that right, you know, and left to my own devices, I can't. But if I'm with, know that my, and that's very, if I just know that in my own self, if I'm God reliant, I am going to be selfish. I am good, but I have an opportunity, any heart from my, thank you.
Great job, y'all. We've got a little time left. Do either of you have a particular resentment that was really sticky that you'd like to share about with people who maybe have not done a four step? They're thinking about the mom thing or the ex thing, or I don't know, the teacher in school that wrapped their hands. I don't know. Do either of y'all have something like that? Lauren, you're smiling.
Yeah, of course I do. Yeah, my dad was a big one for me. And it's a wonder I didn't drink over that one because I was really defiant around really looking at where I was to blame in that relationship. And I was, there was a lot of fear there. So I protected myself. Like I talked about, I protected myself in staying in the resentment. And one night I had this dream. So he's been in and out of the rooms for as long as I can remember. Right now he's on a dry period. And we have a relationship right now, but we didn't have a relationship for the first 12 years of my sobriety. And I didn't see him, talk to him, nothing. And I had this dream. That's how angry I was. That's how burned up I was. I had this dream. And in the dream, this was the days of answering machines. So he called the landline and on the answering machine, I heard him in real time. I was listening to him leave the message. And in his voice, in my dream, there was such despair and sadness in his voice that I actually felt compassion for the man. And when I woke up, that resentment was gone. And I can't say what happened other than I was doing the other things, except for I was not willing to let go of that. I was doing the things that we do here. I was remaining in the 11th, 10th, 11th, and 12th step. The only thing I can say that shifted that for me is God and taking the action here. I was 12 years sober when I made amends to him. And you all will talk about that in the subsequent weeks. You'll get to that in your reading, but I was a long time sober before I was really able to get honest and see where I was to blame in that relationship. And it really caused me a lot of unnecessary pain that I could have been free from. I'll pass.
Thanks, Lauren. Meg.
Yes. My mother was, it was very, very helpful because that's where I saw I was powerless. And now looking back, I can remember and that's why I think sponsorship is so important. I had my current sponsor, and she, when we got to this fourth step, I had done him, and how I was recite off, know what it did, but because I was concerned, I was that the problem and what my sponsor not try to, this is what I want. I want you to stop. Now I called my mom and I didn't know, and I hated calling, but I was doing so out of quote unquote obligation. That's what I thought. I mean, I did not know, literally, to find out so that I would know whether, and if I wasn't okay, I was going to argue with her. I was going to retaliate so that we could be okay again, back in the symbiotic cycle. And I couldn't see it. I was, just as Lauren said, but the action of taking my sponsor and backing off of the made me, I would get so anxious right around the time when I would normally have called her. I would get bound up with, and for the first time, and I felt literally in myself, I felt like I was about 7, and I was in, and that's when I began childish. God was showing me that in that, I was like a, and he showed compassion. It's not like I heard a voice, you're being so childish. I felt it. And then I had a subsequent, no matter what. And I can tell you guys, process several. My sponsor gave me other stop giving so much, taken interest. Now that was hard. That was a hard switch. We had this dynamic where my mother would dig and find out, and I would feel compelled, right? But if you take a step back, a loving adult. So my sponsor, and in each case, I would say to myself in my heart, that's not going to work. And it was hard. It was hard to make the shift. But as I did, and there were others, I started to see my mother as, rather than the mother or the one who, and as I started to her as a, and as I started to, that I could practice that resentment. And now I can tell you, I visit my mother, and I can tell you today, if I don't, guess what? But today, that is a flag that tells me that something's wrong, that I need to talk to my sponsor, right? And sometimes there have been times where I've left my mother's community, and I've called my sponsor and laughed, and she will laugh and she'll say, I love you, you know, and I have relief, you know, I'm allowed to be, and I don't, my mother, and I love her. She's taught me more about getting.
That was great. That was wonderful. Thank you very much, Lauren and Meg. What a great night. And finishing with a mom and a dad resentment. You just can't get better than that. Okay, we're going to pass the seventh tradition basket. The seventh tradition states that every AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. While contributions cover each group's rent and other expenses, the seventh tradition is essential at every level of AA service. It is both a privilege and a responsibility for groups and members to ensure that not only their group, but also their intergroup, central office, local services, district area, and the general service office remain self-supporting. This keeps AA free of outside influences that might divert us from our primary purpose, to help the alcoholic who still suffers. Announcements. Are there any AA-related announcements? I do not see any announcements at all. Okay. Simple Actions is a home group. If you are interested in joining our home group or in need of a sponsor, please hang out after the meeting. Home group members, please raise your hands. Also, if you are in need of any AA literature, hang out, send us an email. We will be sure to get you what you need. Sponsorship. Sponsorship in AA is yours for the asking. We urge you, do not delay. If you have questions or would like additional information about sponsorship, we will be available here after we close the meeting. Please feel free to talk to any of us. Again, if you're shy, you can shoot us an email. Our address is info@simpleactions.net. That's info. It's probably somewhere in the chat. info@simpleactions.net. In closing, can we please thank Meg and Lauren again? Thank you all so much. Thanks to all who participated. We are going to unmute everyone after the Lord's Prayer and give everyone a chance to say thank you. And Emily has volunteered to read the last two paragraphs on page 164.
Hi, everybody. I'm Emily, alcoholic. A vision for you. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road to happy destiny. God, may God bless you all.
Okay, we're going to, are we all going to unmute for the Lord's Prayer and do the cacophonous wonder that doing it on Zoom is? We yeah. are, Yay. Aren't we? Right on. Yo. Let's just make it ugly. Okay.
Or beautiful.
Our Father.
Our Father.
Who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come.
Thy will be done.
On earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation,
but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom,
the power,
and the glory, forever and ever.
Amen. Woohoo! I thought last week was the best meeting ever, but it's this week.